Well, good morning, everybody, and I hope your day has been a blessed one. As we know, we are now in a three-day lockdown, and that's why this message is being recorded and for you, and you're listening to it on your computer. And we will continue to be like this until further notice. Hopefully, this will only be a three-day lockdown. But look, let's just keep in prayer for one another, keep in prayer for our country, and for the government officials, that the right decisions are made. And it is a burden on people to be locked down so quickly like this. And we're very thankful to everybody in our church who take part in being able to make these broadcasts possible. And we're grateful to the Lord that he's put together. We've got a good church, and we praise the Lord for each and every one of you. And we're very thankful. Now, if we're still in lockdown next week, we will have the Lord's Supper online, so you can prepare for that at home and take part in that. And it would be a blessing if you could do that, so be ready for that. But for this morning, we're going to just have our message put up now. And that message is going to carry on from last week's afternoon message, where we looked at handing our burdens over to the Lord. And this morning's message is bearing one another's burdens. And it comes from the book of Galatians, and chapter 6, and we'll be looking at verses 1 to 6. Before we get started, we will have a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, we do thank you for the wonderful God that you are. We thank you, Lord, that you're the one who carries us through these times and seasons that we are in. We're grateful to you to know and understand, Father, that we can commune with you at any time, and as Lord, there's no lockdowns or no restrictions on the true born-again believer being in communion with you. And we thank you for the wonderful privilege of being able to come boldly into your throne room of grace. We thank you, Lord, for one another in our church and for the body of Christ. And we pray, Lord, that you give us the grace that we need at this time and in the situations that we find ourselves in. And Lord, with the near appearing of our Lord and Savior coming so soon, as we see the times we live in. And we are thankful and grateful to know you as our personal Saviour. Now, Lord, just bless the message to our hearts this morning. And Lord, may you be honoured and you be glorified in all things that we say and do. In Jesus' precious name, amen. If you'd like to open your Bibles to Galatians chapter 6, and we're going to be looking at verses 1 to 6. And it's about bearing one another's burdens. Now, when you're going through a difficult time and you feel burdened, do you feel the freedom to share that hardship with someone else, or do you think seeking help may be a sign of weakness? Are you under the wrong assumption that Christians must handle everything that comes to them by themselves in order to show that they may have strong faith? Unfortunately, many people often bear burdens that God never intends for them to carry alone. And when one refuses to seek help because of their pride or maybe insecurity, they bury their problems and suffer much more than is painfully necessary. Therefore, the issue is, what do you do with your burdens, and how can you help others with their troubles? And we're going to focus mainly on that second part this morning. Now, whether it's financial, whether it's relationship, whether it's physical or spiritual, we should feel free to share what we're going through with close brothers and sisters and find encouragement in our time of need. Now, last week we learnt how to hand our burdens over to God. In Matthew 11, 28 to 30, Jesus said, "Come to Jesus, learn of Jesus, and have confidence in Jesus." And today, we're going to see what steps to take in bearing each other's burdens and what that means. So in Galatians chapter 6, starting in verse 1, we read, "Brethren, if a man be overtaken in a fault, ye which are spiritual, restore such a one in the spirit of meekness, considering thyself, lest thou also be tempted. Bear ye one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ. For if a man think himself to be something, when he is nothing, he deceiveth himself. But let every man prove his own work, then shall he have rejoicing in himself alone, and not in another. For every man shall bear his own burden. Let him that is taught the word in the word communicate unto him that teacheth in all good things. You know, the heaviest weight a person can carry is guilt because of sin. And when Paul talks about bearing the burden of another person, usually it's the weight that is caused by some transgression. Now, in Psalm 38:4, we read, "For mine iniquities are gone over my head as a heavy burden, they are too heavy for me." See, we all get to the point where we can't handle the load anymore. God allows the yoke of sin to become so extreme that it drives us to release them. And it's then we are willing to ask him to forgive us. So how do Christians help other believers bear the weight of sin? Now, the key to bearing one another's burdens is restoration. In Hebrews 11:3, we are told, through faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. Now, that word framed is katartizo, and that means to set in order. It's a word that means to equip or adjust. In other words, it's telling us that, to complete something that is lacking, or make fully ready, repair something that's broken. In other words, it's a word used for restoring also a fallen brother. And in our passage this morning, we see three steps to help other believers bear the weight of their sin. First of all, we're going to look at restoring with gentleness, then restoring with the right purpose, and thirdly, restoring another with the right motive. So first of all, restore with gentleness. Notice verse 1 of Galatians 6. "Brethren, if a man be overtaken in a fault, ye which are spiritual, restore such a one in the spirit of meekness, considering thyself, lest thou also be tempted." See, we see there that restoration is to be done in the spirit of meekness. Now, Paul had just finished explaining in chapter 5 of Galatians the conflict that goes on between the spirit and the flesh. And he gives a vivid picture of the wickedness of sin, and then a beautiful picture of the fruits of the spirit. And he says to us, if a brother is overtaken in a fault, if they are caught up in a sin, then those who are spiritual are to restore, in other words, to help or repair or complete what is lacking in them. How do they do it? It's in the spirit of meekness. You see, those who are spiritual isn't just referring to people who are known to be counselors or pastors. It's to all those who are walking with the Lord, to those who have a close and personal relationship with him. Those Christians, those believers, have a duty to come alongside a brother or sister who are struggling with the weight of sin and help them overcome it. Now, we've got to understand that we are helping people who are trapped in activities and with attitudes that are too powerful for them to overcome. See, the sin they're in is keeping them enslaved, in bondage. Perhaps they hate their sin. They may want a way out of it, yet they don't know how to break free and set themselves free from the yoke of sin. And we are to be messengers of redemption. We're to help them understand 1 John 1:9. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. That verse, understood and applied in a person's life, brings liberty and freedom from sin. But far too often, believers who get caught up in the sin are harshly judged. They are condemned and they are despised by other believers, and that crushes their spirit. Now, if they are strong-natured, they may well rebel with pride and self-defense. If they are weak, then they could even fall to greater depths of sin. Now, to brand them and exclude them. Some religions practice that, could even incur the heavy guilt of those who make others to sin. Now, am I saying we're to take part in their sin or just to enjoy their company even though they sin? No, I'm not saying that at all. We're to be separate from the world. We're to be very careful of any sin, and we are especially not to take part in sin. God forbid. We are to help them be set free from the dominion of sin in their lives. Now, if they tell you they don't want any help at all and they want to be left alone, then that's what you do. You pray for them. You keep in touch if they will listen to you. But those who are spiritual should at the least produce love. Not withdrawing from others with religious pride. In fact, you will find that religious pride is sure proof of the absence of Christian spirituality. Now, as I said, it's not saying we are to ignore the sin in others, because that's also not the right type of love. Sin must be faithfully pointed out and earnestly opposed, not just for punishment, but for restoration of those caught up in the terrible consequences of sin. You know, there's no nobler work to the purest of souls than to help others be restored, those who are caught up in a fault. In fact, wasn't that the mission of our Lord? Our Savior Jesus Christ, didn't he not come to restore and reconcile a sinful man back to God? Did he not do that for you and me? Then should we not also follow his steps and try and help others who are caught in the same position we were once in? Because he has enabled us, he has fitted us with the same mission that he had. And the more a person has of the Spirit of Christ in their life, the better they will succeed in their endeavors in restoring those who have been overtaken in their faults. And we're to restore, notice it tells us there, to restore such a one in a spirit of meekness. Now we're also told we're to have a spirit of humility. Notice it says, considering thyself, lest thou also be tempted. Now consider means to look to yourself. Matthew Henry, he wrote a very wise thing about this. He said, we ought to deal very tenderly with those who are overtaken in sin, because we, none of us know, but it may be sometime or other, be our own case. We also may be tempted, yea, and overcome by the temptation. And therefore, if we rightly consider ourselves, this will dispose us to do by others as we desire to be done by in such a case. You know, we should never assume that we are stronger or superior than any other believer. That's pride, and pride cometh before destruction, and a haughty spirit before a fall. Amen? Now listen, what if we had met with the same temptation? What if we had met with the same pressures? We may well have had an even worse fall. And who knows, someday our time might come and we may well need the support of the one we have helped. Now let us do the work as a brother to brother and sister to sister in Christ for his glory. And that means we restore with gentleness. Secondly, we have to restore with the right purpose. Look at verses 2 and 3. Bear ye one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ. For if a man think himself to be something, when he is nothing, he deceiveth himself. You know, God's will is that we help restore the person, which means that there will be a change in their life. Now, we are helping that person reset their life. It's like the term that a doctor may use in the mending and setting together of a broken bone. And the most powerful way to do that is to love them the way God loves them. You know, Jesus said in John 13, 34, he says, a new commandment I give unto you, that ye love one another as I have loved you, that ye also love one another. Now, in Matthew 23:37, Jesus said unto him, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy mind. This is the first and great commandment, and the second is like unto it, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. Now, the Galatians, you know, while they weren't denying faith in Jesus was necessary, they were trying to say faith wasn't enough and that the Gentiles still had to be circumcised before they could fully experience salvation. In other words, in chapter 2, they're trying to add works to the salvation. And Paul is saying, listen, you guys want a law? I'll give you a law to follow. Bear ye one another's burden. In other words, be like Christ. Show self-sacrifice. See, his law, Lord, that's the Lord I'm talking about, wasn't ceremonial. Jesus expects us to take an interest in others, to think that we are interested only in ourselves, then that's to get the gospel message wrong. Mark 8:35 tells us, for whosoever will save his life shall lose it. But whosoever shall lose his life for my sake and the gospel's, the same shall save it. For what shall it profit a man if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? You see, the law of Christ is the law of love. And we are obliged to show forgiveness, to show forbearance, to be sympathetic and compassionate towards one another in the Lord's body. That's the pattern that Jesus has laid out for us. He bears up with our weaknesses, doesn't he? Yes. He bears up with our foolishness. Yes. He bears up with our selfishness. Yes. He is touched by our infirmities, Hebrews 4:17 says. And Jesus sympathizes with all our weaknesses, and that is the reason, in fact, brothers and sisters, that's the best reason we should have and keep the same attitude with the others around us, our brothers and sisters in Christ. Now, as Christians, we may be free from the law of Moses, but listen very carefully, we are still under the law of Jesus Christ. A new commandment, he says, I give unto you, that ye love one another as I have loved you, that ye also love one another. You know, there was a 36-year-old mother. She was discovered to be in the very advanced stages of terminal cancer. Now, one doctor said, listen, you don't have very long to go at all. Just enjoy your remaining days. Another doctor, though, offered her the opportunity to live another 3 to 4 years with the grueling side effects of chemotherapy and radiation. Now, she wrote these words to her 3 small children. She wanted them to know the decision she made after she was gone. She said, I have chosen to try to survive for you. This has come at a horrible cost, including pain, loss of my good humor, and moods I won't be able to control. But I must try this, if only on the outside chance I might live another day longer, a day that could be the one you might need when no one else will do. And for this, I intend to struggle tooth and nail with God's help. You see, God loves us with an unconditional love. Do you know that Jesus loved us so much? He loved his church so much. He gave his life for it. And his commandments, his instructions to all believers is we are to love one another in the very same way. You know, John 15:13, greater love hath no man that he would lay down his life for his friends. You know, it takes commitment, it takes care, it takes compassion to give of yourself to help those overcome the burdens in their lives. Now, I understand sometimes people say, look, just leave me alone and let me go. Then you do that, but you continue to pray for them. You take on their burden in another way. Sometimes you'll even feel the pain of their sin. The hurt they go through can make them seem unlovable towards you. They can bring out anger and a quick temper. Their deep hurt and guilt could all also be aimed right at you. But we are still to restore them, not for our purposes. We're to restore them for the right purpose, and that is to fulfill the law of our Saviour, Jesus Christ. Now, Galatians 6:3 says to us, "For if a man think himself to be something when he is nothing, he deceiveth himself." Yeah, that's a very, very challenging verse, isn't it? I heard the story of an elderly man on a train. And this goes back when trains had conductors and guards. And he was on a train and he broke a minor regulation. And the train guard spotted it. And this guard unmercifully bawled this man out on the train in front of everyone. He was only a young train guard. And as he left, a fellow passenger came up and he nudged the old man and he said to him, "Why didn't you give that guard a piece of your mind?" But the old man smiled and he said, "Oh, if a man like that can stand himself for all of his life, I can surely stand him for 5 minutes." We've got to restore with the right purpose. We've got to understand that people, when they're under the burden of sin, are not themselves. Restore with gentleness, restore with the right purpose. And thirdly, we have to restore people with the right motive. Notice verses 4 and 5 of our text. "But let every man prove his own work, and then shall he have rejoicing in himself alone and not in another. For every man shall bear his own burden." You know, when you bear someone's burden, it's absolutely essential that you be spiritually minded so that before they can be restored. And that means the most important thing in our lives is our walk with Christ. When the Holy Spirit has control of us, he keeps our motives, our purposes, our intents right. And he fills our attitude with gentleness. You see, we cannot help another if we are also living under the dominion of sin. See, we are to prove our own work. And what I mean by that is that we have to understand and look mainly at our actions and our behavior. We are to seriously examine them under the rule of God's word and see if we line up in agreement with what God tells us we should be doing, how we should behave. Is our character Christ-like? Is our conduct Christ-like? Is our conversation of such a spiritual quality that people under the dominion of sin are convicted by our presence? When we have our walk with God in a good order, when we have a good conscience towards him regarding our lives, we can rejoice in ourselves. What we're not to do is to rejoice in ourselves at the expense or comparison of how another person is living their life. Too many people try to do the work of the Holy Spirit in another person's life when we need to have our own life in order. We need to have our own life right, not just judging other people or judging our life according to others. Our work is to show something extraordinary at work in us. Now, do people see something extraordinary in you and me? Are we loving the way Christ is? Are we kind the way he was? Are we forgiving and accepting? Are we willing to listen to others with compassion and care the way he listens to us? And that brings us to that verse. Are we able to rejoice in ourselves, in our lives, because of those qualities we show to others, not make ourselves seem better than anyone else, but to show those with a heavy burden the Christ-like characters that will lighten the load that they carry. Is proving our work, rejoicing in ourselves alone, saying that we find all our good qualities? No. Self-examination is not designed to leave us feeling satisfied with ourselves or even free from fear and doubt, but it is to lead us to the Lord, where we find fresh pardon, where we find new mercies and new grace for each and every day. And what a wonderful thing it is, what a useful thing it is for us to examine ourselves, not to feel good about ourselves, but to be led to the Lord for that refreshing and uplifting that we need. Look at verse 5, for every man shall bear his own burden. Now that may sound like a contradiction to verse 2, because it says there, bear ye one another's burdens. Bear your own burden, what does that mean? Listen, every one of us have certain burdens to bear. Now to bear another person's burden, that means we get under it with them and we join in with them. In other words, it's just like Christ tells us to come and take his yoke upon us. We hop into the yoke with someone else and we help lighten their load. See, the bottom line is we are all responsible to God for our actions. And there's a day coming, and if we can't see, we're closer to that day now. There is a day coming when we will all give an account of ourselves to God. Now, praise God, as believers, that the judgment won't be on sin. It won't be based also on what the world thought about us or what we thought about ourselves, being better or worse than others. It will be according to how our state and behavior has been since the day we were saved in the sight of God. And we will all receive our rewards according to our works. Praise God, we are not going to be judged for sin. Christ did the only work that could be done for that on the cross. He bore our sins personally, the sins of the whole world, and put an end to that. And since that day you accepted Christ as Savior, your sin will not be brought up. People like to talk about a big picture screen in heaven and you'll stand before the judgment seat and all your life and sins will be shown. That's not biblical and that's not true. Your sins have been put away as far as the east is from the west. They're in the middle of the Lord's back. He cannot reach them or look to them. He has dealt with them completely. But as believers, we will be judged for how we live the Christ-like life. And we will be rewarded accordingly. Now, because of that reality, we should be practicing more and more every day the fulfilling of the law of Christ, bearing up our own and other people's burdens rather than bearing down hard upon them. Now, of course, the most effective way to help others is to be in prayer for them. In fact, we should pray before we even say a word to another person. You know, when we intercede for others, God speaks to their hearts about their difficulties. God brings to them also conviction of their sin. He helps them to comprehend it. And he pries open the door of their heart, ready to receive his love. And he shows us how to reach these people. But we have to realize something. It takes absolute dependence upon the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit knows exactly the right time for us to approach a person. And if we are surrendered, he will lead us. He will show us what to say, and he will help us to respond the right way. Now, can you imagine a soldier, and he's got his backpack on? Now, that bundle is his responsibility. And he's to continue on with that backpack and he's to do his part. And likewise for us, there are certain responsibilities we must bear. And our main responsibility is to live the kind of life that brings honor and glory to Jesus Christ. And our character, our conversation, and our conduct must reflect him. Verse 5 says, "For every man shall bear his own burden." Now the weight is guilt and sin we carry. You know, our responsibilities like good soldiers is to bear others' burdens. We lead others to Christ so he can take the burden and the weight of sin off them. That's why our responsibility is to be right with God, so we can lovingly show others how to be right with him as well. No contradictions here. There's just a beautiful picture of how we live to exalt the one who saved us. Amen? Well, I hope the Lord has blessed you with this message this morning. And really, it means nothing unless we apply it. Maybe we should be praying for someone that the Lord bring into our life who needs help, so that we can show them what the true love of God is all about. Bear ye one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ. Well, I hope the Lord's blessed you this morning. And just keep in touch, and we will get through this lockdown together. And we look forward to next Sunday. And just keep a close watch. We're locked down till, I'm not sure if it's Tuesday or Wednesday, but we'll let you know how the prayer meeting's going to go. But look, let's be in prayer for one another, uplift one another, and encourage one another. Amen? Amen. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this day. We thank you for your word. We ask, Lord, that you would be at work in our hearts. We ask that you would just uplift us and encourage us and help us, Lord, to just share and lighten the load of others, Lord, and give us strength that we need, and help us, Lord, not to also get caught up in the temptations that others may be in. Father, we love you. We thank you for the victory we have in Jesus Christ. These things we pray in his name. Amen.